food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, on March 17th, 2014. And happy St. Patrick's, everyone. Are you wearing green, Al?
Well, I guess so. Does olive drab count? I've got an olive drab T-shirt on, so I guess that's kind of green.
That's green. That's green.
And actually, I'm wearing some camo pants, and they're kind of green.
Well, I couldn't pinch you through the phone anyway. So,
what can I tell you? Why? Yeah. You, pinch people if they're not wearing green? Is that what happens?
That's what happens.
Oh my goodness.
That's what happens. Mm. Oh well, no green for me. Ruby's got a green collar, though. Does that...
That means Ruby gets to pinch you.
Yes. Anyway, it wasn't green for gold today, though.
No.
No. Green. It was red. Down $15 today at $13.67. But, folks, we're still at $13.67. You have silver down 29 cents at $21.27. Platinum was up 2 at $14.66 and palladium $775. This is based on the New York spot price numbers, not the true spot or futures contracts. You have the USDX today still trading below 80.03, 79.38. Crude oil down 87, almost another dollar at $98. And the paper markets today, I guess they were celebrating the Crimea vote. So they gained. It's amazing. The markets didn't drop. Well, they dropped a little bit, but it's also silly. It's really silly anymore. The Dow was up 181 points at 16,247. The NASDAQ up 34 at 42.79, and the S&P up 17 at 18.58. And the 10-year yield is moving a little bit higher, 0.05, at 2.70%. And
I think the amazing thing is that the dollar, even today, is still down 0.03. Now, that's not a big amount down, but it is down. And it's now 79.38. And I think that's perhaps the lowest it's been in, I don't know, several months. It may have been down a little lower than that, and I just don't remember it. But it looks like it's the lowest it's been in several months to me. Might be mistaken in that, but it's certainly close to it. But it is persistent. We've seen the dollar down probably 7 days out of the last 10. be my guess. And
you know,
that's a trend that's hard to ignore. You know, it's not, it didn't fall to 70 or 65 or something like that. But it's down persistently below that 80 mark that they seem determined to hold on to no matter what. They weren't going to let it bust down through 80, other than maybe a day or so once in a while. But
I think the thing that makes that interesting, and as far as the trend in the U.S. dollar, is it has no bounce. It didn't bounce. I mean, usually if you break through, you know, a trend line or something, you'll have a little bit of bounce back, and then it'll go down. But there's been no bounce back.
I know. That's
none whatsoever. I mean, not even any bounce back from 79.40 to 79.50 and back. I mean, it's just no bounce. It's just been down, stay, down, stay, down, stay. And
what do you think that indicates?
Well, nobody wants the dollar.
Well, nobody wants the dollar, but it's been artificially supported for some time, in my opinion. I mean, certainly, you know, probably several years. Who knows how long it's been artificially supported? But it appears. But if that's true, it appears that people in positions to support the dollar and hold it above 80 have given up on that battle. Now, that doesn't necessarily surprise me, because I've argued for years. But clearly, the government wants inflation.
Absolutely.
They want the dollar to be worth less. And that's what's indicated when we see the U.S. dollar index going down below 80 and then to, you know, 79.9, 0.8, 0.7, down to 79.38. That's the indicator I'm looking at right now. The government wants inflation so they can pay off their debts with cheaper dollars. And although they've resisted that impulse, at least as measured by the U.S. dollar index, for the past couple of years, the truth remains the fundamental forces for inflation, and that's why the dollar has lost 95% of its value in relationship to gold, for example, since 1971. It's been a persistent, persistent decline. Government wants inflation. They backed off on that for the last 18 months or so when we had in the you know, the winter of our discontent with gold, but it looks like they are now prepared to get back into inflation, let it happen. And if they're going to do that, it will certainly help push the price of gold up, and it will inadvertently support the price of gold. Their inflation is going to be good for the price of gold. So.
Well, we had the vote in Crimea. And we had the oil prices fall today near $98 a barrel with the split from Ukraine and to join Russia. And, of course, you know, a lot of it, as you know, we talked about on this program, was anticipated. But, you know, funny thing about this whole thing is, I don't know if it's funny. People might not think it's funny, but you have the United States and the European Union who went ahead and put the sanctions. It triggered the sanctions by the EU and the US, but none that affected the country's energy industry. I mean, and so if they really wanted to hurt Russia, that's what they would have targeted. But
last time I saw, they were targeting specific individuals in Russia and putting sanctions on individuals who were the head of, who knows, perhaps Gazprom, or I don't know who. And the relative to whatever funds they have, perhaps stored in the United States, or their visas to come into the United States.
Well,
they're not doing anything to the nation of Russia that I'm aware of. Russia itself is not suffering any sanctions, so far as I know. Now, this is in a constant state of flux. They go after a couple individuals. Oh, big deal. You know? It's like someone sanctioning me and telling me.
If they really wanted to hurt Russia, they would have gone after the energy. And because that's where Russia has gotten all its money in the past years.
I understand, but they can't, because
that's what brought them out of their problems is the oil, the energy.
But how do they go after the energy? Russia's principal supplier of energy to the European Union. How do they go after Russian energy without shutting down the European Union?
Yep.
That's their problem. And the government was talking, our government talked to Canada last week and at least recommended that the two countries work together to begin supplying natural gas to Europe. And instead of sending it by pipeline, we would send it by ships with tankers that were carrying those big balls of natural gas on them. Problem with that is we don't have the infrastructure to move natural gas from the Midwest and from the western part of the United States to the East Coast, where it would have to be loaded onto ships and then shipped over to Europe. Mm-hmm. We don't have the infrastructure to do it. We have pipes that will move natural gas from Wyoming, for example, out to Philadelphia. Right? But we don't have enough where we can increase the volume that's required to replace the volume that Russia's providing to the European Union. We'd have to increase the size of our pipelines by, who knows, maybe 25%. And it can't be done in less than several years. So if we start now, we might be able to replace Russia, who knows, 3 years from now, five, before we got it all squirreled away, before we got it, everything was set up properly. And all of this depends on a congressional and public mentality that is more conducive to building more pipelines than we saw with the Keystone Project. All sorts of forces are out there and say, oh, no, we don't want that pipeline. Well, how are they going to build more pipelines? So the point is, we can't replace Russia as a source of energy for European Union. And European Union, as long as Russia is their supplier, they are not going to hurt Russia any more than a crack addict is going to go out and shoot a crack dealer. Right? Then when they need to keep that dealer in order to satisfy their addiction. So same thing with Russia, same thing with the European Union. Here's an article on the Crimea votes in favor of U.S. Of secession and annexation of Russia. This came out yesterday. Under the gaze of Russian military forces Sunday, citizens of Crimea voted overwhelmingly in favor of splitting off from the Ukraine and becoming part of the territorial Russia. United States and other countries promptly rejected the referendum as illegitimate, and President Obama called Russian President Vladimir Putin on Sunday afternoon to reiterate that stance. So you can see this is getting serious. Obama has placed a telephone call to Putin to reiterate his stance. I wonder if he called collect. All right, just to show him how serious. We're getting serious about this, Putin. We're going to make you pay for the phone calls. If this confrontation keeps escalating, Obama may even send an angry letter to the New York Times. But what's he going to do to Russia? I don't see anything. I do not see it. I know people are talking about this. Someone can do something.
Let me ask.
It's going to turn into a war, but I'm unable.
Ask you a question. Do you think it's something that they can't do against Russia, or is this something really that they can't do against China, knowing that China is backing Russia? So if China wasn't there, would they be a little more? So who are they really backing down?
I think
from?
The problem is the government's China. Broke. I don't think we can go to war with anybody right now.
But
I think
China
we have
also
wasted and depleted so many resources in Afghanistan and in Iraq that we don't have the necessary personnel.
They would have the money if they wanted to. All they have to do
it's
is
not
put
just
off
money.
Budget. They'd have to put it off budget and
where
they did
get the
for
money?
Iraq. My point
where
is,
where are they
I
going
think-
to get the money?
It's called the Federal Reserve Printing Press.
I get that, but just the same,
but
the Reserve is trying to back
okay,
off.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's really that, or do you think it's more that they know that both Russia, not so much Russia, but China, my point was, because they're holding so much of that debt and the threat of them releasing that,
all of it plays in. I don't think anybody can sit back and say there's one thing absolutely that controls.
I think
every bit of this is an element, but I'm for myself, I think the primary problem, you know, we saw a little evidence of this when there was a confrontation in 2011 with Libya. And ultimately, Libya was destroyed over this, and Colonel Gaddafi was, actually was murdered. He was killed in any case. We would not go in and put boots on the ground. We have the resources to bomb people and fly airplanes overhead and shoot them up and, you know, send down missiles and whatever. All that's still there. But I don't think we can put boots on the ground. And we certainly can't do it right next to Russia. Nobody wants to get into a confrontation with Russia in Russia's own, in Russia's backyard. That's just crazy talk. They have the most nuclear warheads of any nation on Earth. No one in their right mind wants to get into a shooting war with Russia. So what are you going to do? We don't have the resources to put boots in the ground. Nobody wants to go into a nuclear battle. The only thing that's left is you sit back and complain and say, "Oh, well, I'm just mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore." Well, big deal. You know, President Obama, he made a telephone call to President Putin. Well, big deal. You know, I don't see anything coming to this other than Russia guys, the Crimea. It's a done deal, and that's the way it's going to be. And on top of which, the reports I've seen indicate that 95% of the people in the Crimea voted to be annexed to Russia. Now, are they giving us straight numbers? I don't know. I mean, God knows that the Communist Party was famous for falsifying election results. And is the Ukraine doing the same thing? I don't know. Maybe it was 95%, maybe it was 63% that favored, or 53% that favored joining Russia. But I think that 95% figure may be correct. And if it is, you have the Crimea was part of Russia up until, I think, about 60 years ago. And then it was parceled off, and for reasons that aren't clear to me, became part of the Ukraine. But the 95% of the people, they want to go back and be part of Russia as they were up until 60 years ago or thereabouts. Russia wants them to come back. The Russian military hasn't killed anyone. It's not impossible a couple shots are fired or someone and someone loses their life before this is all over, but the military itself hasn't done that. So we're going to have essentially a peaceful transition of one country to another one. And what have we got? What can we do? Complain that it's a violation of the Ukrainian constitution, but the existing Ukrainian government is the result of a coup where they just took over from the previous government. I mean, nobody over there has any significant legitimacy right now. No one in the Ukraine. So what are you going to do? Got a group of people. They want to go to Russia. Russia wants to take them. You know, why not? And they used to be part of Russia. Why not? What's the problem?
Let's see if Jim from Pennsylvania has an answer for us. Are you there, Jim?
I'm there, Mel. I'm here. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Not that you don't already know that. Russia, I believe, is still the only country in the UN that has two votes on the Security Council. And that has to be factored in. Two votes.
I wasn't aware of that. I thought everyone just had one vote on the Security Council. But even one is enough to veto anything. They've got to agree. I think they all five have to agree.
And then you have the BRIC countries.
What about the BRIC countries?
You have to have those votes to Russia's too. So there you go.
Well, I understand. It's just one of these things. This is much ado. I mean, this is a done deal. Russia's going to annex the Crimea. Nobody's going to do anything other than stamp their foot and say, you know, we're just angry about this, but that's as far as they can go, so far as I'm able to see.
The only way to avoid a hot war.
No, nobody's going to go to a hot war over the Ukraine. We've got a break right now.
Thank you, Jim.
We've got commercials coming up, and I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. on Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addison. I hope you'll tune in or stay tuned. We'll be right back. If Frank plays the... There you go.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners, get in gold and silver coins. We're still running the special on the Mint State 62 $20 Liberty gold pieces. They'll run $100 over what a gold eagle would cost. So if your gold eagle would cost $1,400, the Mint State 62 $20 Liberties would be $100 over. And during the peak, during the 2010 season, I mean, there was hundreds of dollars of a difference between a gold eagle coin, which is just melt value, and compared to the $20 gold pieces. So it's a great opportunity to add the $20 gold pieces to your portfolio. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And not only is the spread $100, I mean, these are great coins at this price. They give you privacy, performance, and protection. So give us a call. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Good.
I guess Jim, he's no longer with us on the phone. I guess that is correct. I saw this little blurb, Al. Last week or the week before, we talked about the big spread of income in around the San Francisco area, how all these high-tech companies are moving in there, and your normal people, your blue collar guys or self-employed people who have dry cleaners and service type industry are having a difficult time making ends meet. San Francisco will now lend as much as $200,000 to some home buyers toward a down payment on their first home or condominium. I didn't know cities lent money to home buyers for a down payment. Mayor Ed Lee's decision to double the previous limit of $100,000 was intended to help middle-class residents who have been hit hard by the housing crunch. The new loan limit goes into effect this month, the San Francisco Chronicle reported today. The move came as the median home price in the city reached $925,000 due to low supply and high demand, especially among the city's influx of well-paid technology workers. The city said the previous loan limit is now too low to do much good. The increased limit will be available to people who make up to 120% the city's median income, which is currently $116,500 for a family of four. So here you have a city who is going after the affluent, who is going after a certain income bracket of people for their residents and giving them loans for the down payment.
So what do you think that means, Melody? I mean, they're helping.
It's interesting, yes.
Well, it's interesting, but, having, developed my sense of suspiciousness, if there is such a word, my inclination to be suspicious over the years, I look at this and I wonder, who's being helped by this? Are we helping the man who walks in, who's essentially a middle-class kind of guy, and he walks in and he gets a $200,000 loan so he can afford to buy a house in a community that's really priced over his head?
Yeah, if you don't have a down payment, you're going to have to pay that back anyway, a $200,000 loan.
So who's benefiting? Who's benefiting from this $200,000 loan? Is the homeowner the principal beneficiary, or are the real estate brokers, are they the principal beneficiary? What's actually happening? You just get my guess? If you catch my drift, what I'm saying, we're going to give you $200,000, Melody, so you can go pay the real estate agent enough money to get a mortgage for your house. Are we helping you, or are we helping the real estate agents?
I think there's more to it than I would think than just the real estate agent.
Well, there's a bunch more to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know where this is. This sounds like it's conducive to a bubble. Hard to say. The average house is $900,000. Is that because the average house is so large, or is it because they have such a limited supply?
A limited supply.
It's almost what we're talking about here is a variation on the subprime lending back that led up and played an important role in causing the economic crash back in 2007, 2008. 2009. They were lending money to people who didn't qualify for the homes, didn't really have jobs that were adequate to support the mortgage that they were taking out. And the government was going along with these programs, effectively lending money. They weren't really lending money. You walk in the door and tell them you were making $500,000 a year and they'd believe you. No one would check. It was the equivalent of giving them money. Net result is eventually the day comes, you get a house. It would be appropriate for someone who makes $500,000 a year when you're only making $100,000 a year. The day comes when eventually you can't make the mortgage payments on your house that's appropriate for someone making several times as much money as you're actually making. Then you have to abandon the house. One thing leads to another and it precipitates. A real estate bubble bursts and next thing you know, the economy is in trouble and even the global economy, the whole thing. But it goes back to that real estate bubble as a principal precipitant for the problem. Are we doing the same thing now in San Francisco?
I just can't imagine a city. I would think somehow the banks, if they're holding on, and I don't know the foreclosure rate that, that San Francisco had during the troubled times, but is this a way of helping the banks get off those properties to get rid of a lot if they're holding any properties?
No, they have a short supply, the way I understood the article. They have a relatively short supply.
That's what it
says. The banks aren't sitting on a, they aren't sitting on a mass of homes that they're trying to sell. That's not the problem. What they are doing is trying to maintain property values.
Yeah.
Well, let me think about that. Maybe not. They'll go higher. They'll go left to their own. They're going to go higher. I'm not sure. I'd have to think that. I'd have to reason that through a little bit. Now, I'm not sure what the impact would be on property values. It's not immediately apparent to me.
Well, you would think
but there's more to this. Handing out $200,000 a head. What the? Where does the government get off on that? And what if it doesn't work? Taxpayers are going to bite that bullet if it doesn't work. They are trying to manipulate their economy in a way that is contrary to what the nature of that local economy really is. If the nature of that local economy is $900,000 homes and $170,000 or $150,000 a year annual income, average annual income, well, I think you got to run with what you've got and trying to manipulate it to make sure you can have your fair share of street sweepers move into San Francisco. I think it's ultimately contrary to their best interest.
We have a caller, Earl from Oregon.
Hello, Earl.
Hi. Good afternoon. Hey, the answer to why San Francisco would put a down payment up for people that want to own houses in San Francisco is because they're acting like a bank. Now, banks are prohibited by law from owning real estate for more than the set period of time. I don't know what that is, but cities are not. So since socialism, the American people have accepted socialism, especially their representatives are promoting socialism, the cities, especially in California, are especially liking socialism. And so what the cities are going to do is they're going to put your down payment on for you, part of it. And then if you can't afford to make the payments, and if you can't afford the down payments, pretty much if you can't afford the payments, you're going to lose it. So guess who gets that real estate? The city.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon, government will own all of the houses. And what and government thinks that they're going to end up with all the houses. Well, the European banks have a different plan because the European banks lend to governments, and the European banks are going to be the lender of last resort, and the European banks and their corporations will be owning all of the land and all of the houses and businesses in all of the countries. That's their plan.
Well, that's a good theory. Do you have a source to support that idea, or is it an observation? Do we know that that's absolutely what people are planning to do, or is it a suspicion that that's what people in government are planning to do?
Consider this. Starting in 2008, Congress gave the European banks $16 trillion, then it went up to $27 trillion, and then it went up again to $46 trillion. Now, when you really think about how big $1 trillion is, and then you have almost $50 trillion, you can buy just about anything and everything in the world. There was so much money given to so many banks in Switzerland that United Airlines started daily nonstop service from Geneva, Switzerland to Washington, D.C. In November of 2008, right about a month after the TARP bill got passed. Plane loads, there was a plane load of bankers every day. United Airlines announced it that they started daily nonstop service from Geneva, Switzerland. Well, what's in Geneva, Switzerland, the banks? Why would they go? Bankers be going to Washington, D.C.? Trillions of free dollars from the U.S. Congress. Now,
starting when?
That money?
Starting when?
2008. 2008. Uh-huh. November yep. 2008.
And why do you think they did that?
Now, because they had to get their that TARP money. You have to apply for that. Well, you have to go to Washington, D.C., because that's where the government is at, and that's who is giving out the money, the TARP money.
I okay? get that, but here's my now, point. Here is my point. The reason I think they do that is because of fractional reserve banking. If they can deposit those funds, if they can deposit $1 trillion in a bank, just to you take a number out of thin air, and the bank puts it in the vault, the bank, as I understand it, is then able here in this country to loan out 9 or 10 times the quantity of money that they've got stored in the bank vault. If they get an extra $1 trillion from someone, they can loan 9 or 10 trillion out to the consumers. Now, as it turns out, and I think that was the reason for sending this money to the banks, is they expected the banks to make these loans available to the American consumers, but they'd set the interest rates so low, the bank said, to heck with that, we'll lend to the third world. And they stimulated their economy instead. But if you catch my drift, the reason for giving this money to the banks is because on fractional reserve banking, they can multiply several times. However much money they receive, they can lend even more than that to the consumer. In theory, that would stimulate the economy. Didn't work out that way, but I think that's the theory. Do you agree with that, or do you think that's mistaken?
They did that earlier in the 1990s. Okay.
Well, I think they did it since 2008.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I thought that's quantitative easing.
Here's the more of the evidence, of the clues that you were asking for. Germany bought the New York Stock Exchange. Okay? Now, when those bankers were given those trillions of dollars, they went and bought the best American companies when the Dow Jones was at half off. Okay? The Dow Jones was off 50% off. The S&P 500 was down 50%, and yet the NASDAQ was down 73%. So they were able to buy the American companies for half off with free money, and then Germany bought the New York Stock Exchange so that they could cover up the transactions so that people wouldn't be able to figure out, or governments wouldn't be able to figure what had happened. Now, maybe the NSA does record all transactions. Maybe they just record conversations back then. I don't know. But why would Germany buy the New York Stock Exchange? Because if they didn't, and the American government ever figured out that America had been plundered using our own money,
sure,
there'd be a problem.
Sure, we've been ripped off. I mean, it's a shame we don't have anyone in our government that'll fight for this country to the same degree that Vladimir Putin will fight for Russia. Whether you like Putin, you don't like him, you got to admit the guy's doing the best he can for his country. That's the way it appears to me, at long distance. I'm sure there's reasons to criticize Putin and the rest of it. But I'd like to see, when was the last time we had someone in significant public office in this country who was as interested in supporting America and the middle class and the average American as Putin is in taking care of the Russian people? You got to look back on this.
I wish it were so. Just to give you an idea, Barney Frank was on the banking committee for the Senate, and he was told, you either quit or we're going to bring you up on charges. An immoral man was running the federal banking committees, and he was put in there by the bankers because they needed somebody that wouldn't tell or look into what they were doing while they were coming up with the spot.
You need somebody who doesn't mind breaking the law. That's what you need. The money's right. Why not? That's got to be their attitude, and that is the attitude for people in critical positions of power. It's all about them. They don't respect. They don't have a moral obligation. They don't see themselves as having a moral obligation to do what's best for the people.
You know, you brought up a really good point, and that is we need representatives that will understand it. The American people is not the enemy of government, and government shouldn't be the enemy of the people. It's the foreign countries. The American system was set up so that the federal government would be strong against our foreign enemies, and almost every other country is a foreign enemy against America. they've all liked to take us down and take us over. And it's time that
that may have been true at one time, but right now I believe that the principal enemy of the people of the United States of America is the existing government. Nobody's taking, nobody's taxing me, nobody's regulating me, nobody's threatening to throw me in jail other than our government. I don't have any problem with Russia. I don't have a problem with the Ukraine. I have no problem with Libya. What was my problem with Iraq or Afghanistan? I didn't have one. They didn't do anything to me. None of them. I have had more damage caused in my life by our government than any other government you can name. Looks like we're going to take a break, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Not to harp anymore on San Francisco, so we're going to move on. We're going to talk about, we'll talk about Malaysia Airlines, but I would think that San Francisco would have to make some sort of an agreement with a mortgage company, and since these are tech people, I would think that they made an agreement maybe with these technology companies that they, because these technology companies probably provides the loans possibly to the employees. I mean, there's a lot of speculation, but San Francisco, because no mortgage company would approve someone where they have to borrow that kind of money for a down payment.
That's true.
I mean, none. And who's going to be the first lender of resort on that loan? Is it going to be the city of San Francisco because they, you know, they lent the money for the down payment? Are they going to be listed as a mortgagee or as a separate and private loan backed by what collateral? If a person can't come up with 200 grand, they're not going to have much collateral to back the loan. So somebody is going to have to support that loan somehow, some way. So,
and who do you think that somebody's going to be?
I would think it would have to be the technology company or whoever, the employer.
I think it would have to be the taxpayers before it's all over.
Well, yeah, when it's all over and done.
Because what
when
they're doing is
threats.
Manipulating the market, right? The government, in its infinite wisdom, thinks it's the government of San Francisco, the city of San Francisco, apparently thinks it's every bit as bright as the people in the government of the United States.
And they're probably issuing bonds in order to supply the money for the down payments.
I don't know what they're doing exactly, but they are manipulating markets. And when they do, you can bet that it will blow up. And it might be a couple of years, and they think, well, we'll get some advantage out of it in the meantime. Some of them will be able to hustle some unearned pay. Hard to say what they think, how they think this is going to work out. But if it were me, I'd say let the free market handle it.
But it's just another sign that when people have to borrow a mortgage down payment, things are not well. It doesn't matter.
Well, they're imbalanced. They're imbalanced. That's the only problem. There's a kind of imbalance that's going on, and they're trying to correct that imbalance, but it's built into the economy. It's built into that community. They have people that are making a lot of money. They have.
If there's a high demand for something, even with a low supply, the high demand has to come from people that can afford it.
Well, I agree, but in the global economy.
So if they didn't pay.
Demand is not local.
If they didn't pay the 200 grand or if they wouldn't loan out the 200 grand for the down payment, the median house wouldn't be 925. It'd be 725.
The government doesn't want that. They can't make as much tax revenue
That's
off
right.
$7,000.
Exactly. Yep.
Home is a $900,000 home. It's hard to say how they're figuring it, but I'll guarantee you. This is not a simple matter of let's make homes available for the middle class. That's the excuse, but there are other motives, in my opinion, although I may not know what they are. I would bet in similar circumstances, I'll make 10 of these bets and I'm going to win 8 or 9 of them. They're up to something. I might not understand what it is, but they're government, and that means they're up to something. Here's something from, we've got one from the Associated Press. Final words from Jet came after systems shutdown. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, when someone at the controls calmly said the last words heard from the missing Malaysian jetliner, one of the Boeing 777's communication systems, had already been disabled, adding to suspicions that one or both of the pilots were involved in the disappearance of the flight. That flight remains a mystery. It didn't fall out of the sky due to some catastrophic failure. This is not a problem. The engines didn't fail. A wing didn't fall off. That's not what caused the problem. It wasn't victimized by a bomb planted in the cargo hold. If there had been a bomb there would have been that was capable of shutting off the communications gear and the tracking gear that's built into the aircraft, that bomb, once it went off, there would be no pilot speaking and making final words in a controlled, his final words were not, God help us all or something. His final words were he was just talking. That's all. He's casually talking, and they heard him, and then they didn't hear him anymore. The evidence is this happened, and it was done by people who are very familiar with aircraft. And then, all right, they shut the thing down. And then the plane was flown to some as-yet unknown destination. The reason they couldn't find wreckage is because it didn't wreck, or at least that appears to be the case so far. It's the only way it makes sense, unless somehow it was hijacked and the hijacker's intention was to destroy the plane with themselves on it, which I think is improbable. It's a virtual certainty that one or both of the pilots were complicit in the hijacking. But the big question is, where'd they go? Where'd they land that 777? Insofar as landing has not been reported, wherever they landed, it had to be with the complicity of whichever nation runs that airport. They couldn't have landed that plane, a plane that large, on a dirt runway. All right, 777 needs a long runway made out of concrete. And there can't be that many that were in the vicinity of its fuel range. Now, how is it that no one has reported where the plane landed? If it didn't crash, and it appears that's the truth of the matter, why hasn't the airport reported, oh, you'll never guess who landed here? We should have heard from that. And the implication then is that if the plane has landed, wherever it landed is part of the conspiracy, part of the hijacking. And then we get into some real strange questions. Why would they hijack the plane? Right? Whoever hijacked it. Are they doing it for the money? And if that's the answer, why haven't we heard from them or said, we want $500 trillion to get this plane back and the passengers? It's possible that could have happened, and they maintain a certain amount of secrecy about this, about a request from some terrorists or whatever. But I'm inclined to believe no one has called in and said, we want so much money to get your airplane back. If it wasn't the money, then what were they looking for? There was something on that plane that was valuable. Could it be gold? Was a plane hauling a ton of gold or 500 pounds of diamonds or something else of extraordinary value, rare art treasures? Is that what was on the plane? And we haven't heard any reports along those lines, so I have to assume that's not true. So if we're not taking the plane to and kidnapping passengers to collect a ransom, and if we're not hijacking the plane to extract the gold or whatever that was hidden on the plane or being hauled in the car, what's a value that's on the plane? And the answer could be people. And I don't mean all of them. What if there were a couple of people that had some sort of secrets that somebody, some government, wanted? Wouldn't it be enough to just explode the airplane and blow them out of the air? You got to get them down, get them on the ground where you can subject them to drugs or torture to extract the information from them. You have to get them alive, capture them while they're alive. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happened, but it is at least an intriguing idea. If that were true, they landed that plane someplace. But what are they going to do with all the other passengers if that were true? If they didn't crash this plane or blow it up in the beginning, if this plane has landed, are they going to kill all of the 237, 238 passengers or people that were on that aircraft? Are they going to kill them all? I don't know. This is certainly a strange situation, but the big question for my mind right now, and the key information that needs to be discovered, is where could that plane have landed, and where did it in fact land? Because if it did land and nobody's reported it, wherever it landed is in on the conspiracy theory. So we'll be watching to see, and I would say that whoever orchestrated this may have thought that by turning off the transponders and the communications information, and they can do a number in the air and kind of disappear, maybe they thought they'd never be found. I'll bet they're rethinking that position right now. And one other point, Malaysia was not initially forthcoming with information about what happened to this airplane. It's not absolutely impossible that this airplane just kind of coasted around for a while and landed at a Malaysian military base. Now, I know that sounds nutty and a conspiracy theory and the rest, but it is so strange what's happening there. Some government is complicit in this. And I don't know that it's Malaysia, but it crosses my mind just because they were not instantly forthcoming on trying to resolve the problem. But who knows? I don't know who's in it.
From what I heard about the pilot, they had actually found a simulator of that airline or that plane in his home, and they found it highly unlikely that the pilot and the co-pilot could have set this up, because they match the two up randomly, so they would never know when they
are. They both citizens of Malaysia?
I don't know.
I think one of them is, even though he's perhaps born in England or the United States, I think he's lived in Malaysia for the last 30 years or thereabouts. I believe he is a citizen of Malaysia. He's the guy that had the flight simulator. He is the guy who was allegedly just an enormous fan of flying. I mean, he does flying, flying, flying. He does it for his job. He does it on his spare time. It's no surprise. This guy is dedicated to flying. He was one of these. Someone had to motivate these guys. By what? Threats against the family? Not likely, because you can't just say we're going to get your family.
But they didn't even know the two would ever fly together because they're randomly picked. So
I understand.
We do have a caller.
I see. Yvonne, tell us what the truth of the matter is.
Well, I can't read minds, but...
you know what it is. I know you do. Come on, tell us what the truth is.
Well, according to the IndianDefense.com, which is an Indian newspaper, they said that the plane landed in Diego Garcia, which is one of the secret U.S. military bases in Indian Ocean.
Okay.
And they indicated that it was hijacked by remote control, as you would have fly a drone, they
yep.
would take over the controls of the plane, and they had, I guess the pilots did have to conspire in order to shut down all the other...
Somebody had to conspire on board, because I don't think you can turn those
correct.
Transponders off from outside the aircraft. That's just
no,
a guess, but I think...
You can.
Yeah. You can turn the transponders off?
Yeah.
No, you cannot. It has to be done manually.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
I think it has to be manual.
It has to be somebody in a plane. I mean, a pilot.
Yeah, somebody in the plane. Yeah, they can do
right.
it.
Yeah,
but
I'm saying not
from,
manually.
But from long distance, from another. But like,
no,
they,
I don't.
Just
I don't
like they
this.
Flew the, just like they flew the drones, fly the drones. They fly.
Right.
They can fly the planes too.
Well, then, if that were true and they've landed at Diego Garcia, then that means that the United States is behind this.
Yeah.
That's what it means. All right? Because no one has reported that plane landing, and they haven't been able to find any records. And if it's true that this thing was intentionally stolen by people on the aircraft, in theory it had to land someplace. Nobody reported it. That means the landing base is in on the deal. That sounds like it would have to be done in secret. Where could that be done? Not a typical commercial airport.
Right.
It would almost certainly have to land at a military base somewhere where they could maintain secrecy.
Yep. And I think that was the whole... it was within the range of the seven-hour flight.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Diego San Garcia was had enough? The plane had enough fuel to fly to the particular point, and
well, it's all plausible. We don't know that to be true. We know that someone in India is reporting that as if it were true. We don't know if that's true or false right now. But again, where did that plane come down? If it didn't crash,
right.
if it did land, the landing field is complicit, or the owners, operators of the landing field are complicit in the hijacking. Yvonne, we're out of time. I want to thank you for your phone call. We will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. Hope the rest of you folks will also tune in. Meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. I'm Alfred Addis. Have a good day.
Bye.